Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he takes away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Praise the Lord. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are the husbandman, the gardener, the vine dresser, the one that takes care of things, the one that guarantees that there'll be a harvest. And Lord Jesus, we praise the Father that you are the vine and that we are your branches. You are the main stalk. You are the base, the foundation. And we are growing in you. And we thank you that we've been grafted in, that we have been made pure, able to survive, able to be tied together and united with such a holy, mighty, and all-glorious God. And we give you praise that this year will be a holy and glorious and mighty year. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will speak to us this morning in a way that will be so encouraging that we will never be discouraged again. And all the people said, amen. Amen. What happened to my prop? I'll have to use a new prop. Okay. Now, I don't have a vine like Jesus was talking about, but we'll use this one. Let's pretend like the green is not leaves, but we'll pretend like it's fruit. And we'll make... There. We'll make this the main stalk here, and then we'll have to tie this one onto it. Now, you see, it's a rather tenuous affair. But there. Now, as long as this branch is tied to this main stalk, we'll have to assume this is in the ground, then we'll get the green fruit on it. But should we separate this branch, then we would lose all the green. So, you'll have to use your imagination here, but there. I've pretty much taken off all the fruit from it. Now, that's what happens when someone is not born again or when someone falls away or separates from the Lord Jesus Christ, is he has no fruit. And it's barren, and of course no glory goes to God, the enemy wins, and you are not blessed. Now, the secret then is not that the branch. Now, I could try to put these back on here, and I'll just stash it right in there. Now, that looks like a Christian right there. But there's a problem here, and that is that this is not an organic fruit. This fruit was not born of God, but it's definitely fruit. And a lot of people are going to say on the last day, Lord, Lord, you know, we did many mighty works in your name. We prophesied, we did this and we did that. But he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I was never tied together with you. What you did without me. You did it for me, perhaps. You did it saying it was for God. You did it in my name. But you really didn't know me. You weren't intimate with me. It wasn't my sap. It wasn't my blood. It wasn't my life. It wasn't my joy that coursed through you, because you weren't tied to me at every step. You, in fact, went on your own many times, and you didn't really want to completely be tied in to me. And this very homely or homey image was, I imagine Jesus was walking by some vines. I don't think he just made this up. I imagine he was just walking by. If he had been by a Christmas tree like me, he would have just said, I am the Christmas tree and you are the branches or something. But he was walking by, and it occurred to him there probably were branches on the ground. They probably had just been pruned. And he began then to teach them all about how power or how life courses through this world. And so he took a very obvious example and began to encourage his disciples. Now, here's the encouragement. 1983, not because it's any different than the day before, or the day before, or the day before, but just because it gives us another opportunity now before the Lord's return. 1983 will be a greater year than 1982. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Why? Well, just because we're one day closer or one year closer to the Lord's return. And therefore, since we know that in God's economy, since we know that in God's program, the best is always yet to come. I mean, we're not heading for a downhill thing. We're heading for the best. Amen? Now, we could go out with a whimper. You know, we could go out as a church, kind of beat down, and finally at the last minute, you know, raise our little hand up, and Jesus comes back and saves us. But I do not believe this is God's will for his church, to take a bride that's all beat down and dressed up in ash cloth and you know, whatnot. I believe that the bride that God has paid for, full price, for her beauty, for her to come home strong, loving, fruitful, so that he can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of your master." I don't believe that we will go home with just faith. And we've had faith before. So faith is not new, and we've had works before. But I believe that we have not finished this book. There's a lot of things in this book that have not yet been accomplished. There's fruit to be born here that much of the fruit that we've borne is like this. It looks good, but it's not the real thing. It's something that you put on externally. You know, it's like we did in our play. We made a lot of things look real, and they really aren't real at all. They're just kind of artificial. But you can make that, you know, that lasts for quite a while, and it has the appearance of life, but it's not. And many Christians are legalistically doing things for God, and they're working hard at it, but you know, it's not hard work. This is hard work. Try to put this thing on here, you know, try to make it look. See there, I am a Christian. Look at all that fruit. But, you know, it's much easier just to simply tie this thing in there, and it works with living things. It doesn't work with dead things. But it works with living things that this branch could come alive and bear fruit again if only we could connect it, reconnect it intimately. Now, if we just go to church, then we just connect it, but it's not intimate, it won't work, even though you can add stuff to it. But God wants us to really be intimate with him. So let's listen to the scripture. I am the true vine. That's the main stalk. And my Father, he's the one that watches over everything. Now, who is it that makes sure then that you grow, that you get grafted in? Is it you? Is it Jesus? Or is it the Father? Who is it that prunes you? You know, who takes off so that you can bear more? Now, it doesn't work with Christmas trees because if you prune them, I don't think they keep growing. But it does work with grapes, and it does work with roses, and it works with many other living plants. And that was the kind Jesus was looking at, is that if you prune them at the right time, now don't just go out and prune them. Some people just go out and scalp people all the time. Now, we're not talking about that. But if you prune them at the right time, they look terrible. They look naked. They look awful. Now, that's good if it's the right time, because eventually the sap that's tied in here will break out even more gloriously than before if you didn't. You just have a few scraggly ones, maybe like that. But God wants to have a profusion of fruit. God wants 1983 to be so fruitful that no year could compare with it. It's God's desire that we enter in, and I'm calling this year, although you haven't received the word yet that I've received, I believe this is the year of the Gideon army, the year of the Gideon 300. I believe that God is separating us as a people from all that is fearful, from all that is compromised, to be totally committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and to separate from all that is of the flesh or of this world or this carnal or confused or anything else, and to serve him in a mighty way in which we will take many risks. Now, the Gideon army took risks that the rest didn't have to take. The Gideon army was not the only people of God. There were 32,000 others. But they didn't take the risks that this small army did. And I believe God is calling us to be pioneers, to take risks and so on. Along with the church in Waco and churches here in the city and all over the world, we'll be just one of many, many, many who are going on to the very edge. In other words, the enemy has the church in a stranglehold, and she's not been able to break it. And computers aren't going to help to get us out, nor any other fancy programs. The only thing that's going to help is to get back into Jesus Christ. I was sharing this with Don, that the one thing I saw missing today in the body, among many other things, there are a lot of things missing, but the one thing is the knowledge of God. So few Christians really spend time every day with God. They don't really love God. They're not seeking to have moments when they can be with God. They're not desiring with all their heart to be with God. They don't really want to know Him. Now, they just want to know, well, how much do I have to do to get in on this thing? Well, that's a good question, but it's not the Gideon 300 question. That is a proper question, because you can be saved and not know Him too well. You could be saved without an intimate knowledge of God. I believe that there's a wideness in God's mercy as the wideness of the sea, and I well imagine there will be a lot of people in heaven who did not go all the way, who did not seek God with all their hearts, and so on and so forth, for whatever reasons. But it's not our question. Our question is not, how little can you do and still get in? Now, that's what a lot of people want to know is, how late can I sleep in and still get in, you know, my prayer time in the morning? If you have that question, then we're not on the same wavelength. That's okay. That's fine, you know. If you want to know how wide God's mercy is, I'm sure it's very wide. You can stay in bed all day long if you want. You know, you can accomplish zip. And maybe, now I'm not going to guarantee this, but quite well possible, maybe you'll get in. I don't know. I mean, you're not going to get me to say you will get in, but I'll say this. I don't really want to know what I can get away with. I don't want to know how little Bible reading can I do and still be a Bible reader. How often do I have to go to church? How much do I have to submit to the pastor? How little can I do and still be a Christian? I don't know. All I know is I want to go all the way. And that's what this church is called to do. Now, you can be part of this church and not go along with that. We will never, you know, do anything to you, put any pressure on you or anything like that. But I'll tell you this. If you're here, you will be exposed. And if you don't want to go on all the way, you don't want to stay here because it'll get uncomfortable. Not because we'll put you out or anything. You can stay all you want. But we're going to move on, and the power of God will make you more and more uncomfortable. Hello. Some more amens. Otherwise, I'm in the wrong group. The only reason we're doing what we're doing is not just because we thought the other churches were bad. We're doing what we're doing because we want to follow God all the way. We didn't think they were bad. We didn't think they didn't have the gospel. We didn't think that there was something missing in that sense. It's just that they weren't serious about going all the way. They're Christian. I don't doubt that. I don't know. But I don't doubt that part. How would I have become a Christian if I hadn't found it there? How would you become a Christian if you hadn't found it in the normal way? That's not the question. The question is not justification. The question is sanctification, being holy, separated completely, totally unto God. Now, most Christians today don't even know that that's the vision. They don't even know that that's what God desires and wants. They want a quickie deal, look like a church right away, and go on. I tell you, it's not going to happen that way. God does not build things in a hurry. But once He builds His foundation, once He lays it correctly, then you'll see it go up rapidly and powerfully, but so much so you won't be able to catch up with it. So you'd better get in on the foundation, build it right, take your time. Because if you get off, then it doesn't work right. Now, if this branch is tied into this candle, it's just not going to work. But, you know, we can do it. Well, I thought we could do it. It isn't impossible to do, although it may be. Now, there we are. Now, you see, that thing will hold up as long as I help it a little bit. But that's no accomplishment, even if it took me a long time. It's not worth anything. It was quick to do. But I tell you, to make this thing graft into this, now that would take a little doing. In fact, it would take more than I'm able to do right now. But this branch could be regrafted, or even grafted for the first time, onto this stalk, because the power is not in the branch. Where's the power? It's in the stalk. It's in the vine. And the vine dresser is the one that says, I want every dead branch you can find to be put in here. Boy, that's quite a vine. It must have a lot of power. Put all the branches you got. Just put them in there. And God wants to graft us in so that we're going to accomplish some things. Now, here's some of the things I believe that God wants to accomplish. First of all, that we all come to an understanding of the fact that God wants to separate for Himself a people who want to go, desire to go. And you know, God will never make you go against your will.
Unless you want this with all your heart, go where they're doing what you want. Don't stay here and be bored or be apathetic or drag your feet or whatever else. Go where they, you know, where they're just like you. Because God doesn't want anyone to do anything against his will. What did I do? But anyway, God wants to have people that are passionate, that are in love with Jesus, that are lovers of God. Now, don't say it can't be done. I are one of them. I at least know there's one in this world. It's me. But I know there's more because many of you are lovers of God. And before we're done, you'll all be lovers of God. And so if you want to stay around here, you're going to have to fall in love with Jesus. And that means we're going to disrupt and interrupt your present lifestyle. Isn't that exciting? Hello? Woo, so exciting. You know, and you'll hate us. And you'll put up a fuss and scratch our eyes out and so on. But we're willing to put up with that because we're lovers. Because it's that good that I would throw my life away for it. It's that good. It's that exciting that I would give up everything I have to see a church built out of lovers. Now, most churches don't have that many lovers. They have some. Every church, I'm sure, has some. I don't know that for sure, but I would just guess that's true. But God wants his people to be passionate. I don't mean pretty much in love with him. I don't mean mostly in love with him. I don't mean the top thing in love with him. I mean totally in love with him. That's all that God wants. Now you say, Pastor, that can't be done. That's perfection. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Now I'm not talking about living perfectly. I'm talking about falling in love perfectly. I'm talking about the connection, not the fruit. I don't care about your fruit. I don't care how fruitless you are. I don't care how dead you look. The only thing I'm talking about is the connection. You've got to be a passionate lover. That you can do. Now, if you said, I will accomplish everything for Jesus, well, you may or you may not. I know you can do all things through Christ, but I don't know that you will do all things through Christ, but you can. But when you're a lover, you want to. You say, I will to, I want to. God is in you to will and then later to do. I believe we'll accomplish everything for Jesus if we've abided, if we're connected, if we're passionate lovers, if you see that the vision is that Jesus runs your whole life. You want that? Do you want a master? You know, most people don't like masters, especially Americans and people that live in the West. We have learned to be independent types. We have learned to enjoy our freedoms. And you don't want to give up your freedom to come under the lordship of another. But unless you understand that Jesus is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all, you don't understand Christianity. Because in Christianity, Jesus is out to use you to bear fruit. Hello? For his kingdom. Why? Because if he doesn't use you for his kingdom, you will use you for the devil's kingdom. You can call it your own, you can call it ego, but you'll end up serving Satan. I don't care how neat it looks, I don't care how much greenery you put on it, it'll be Satan. I don't care even if it's in the name of Jesus, it'll be Satan. Now, there's only two ways you can go in this life, and one endures and one doesn't. Now, God's work endures, and what God is doing is separating this kind of people that are totally in love. I mean happy. You people are not happy enough yet. You're miserable looking, really. I wouldn't want to be like half of you. Hello. Come on now. Come on, admit it. Don't be so stuffy. You know, most of you are not happy enough. You're miserable looking, you know. I wouldn't want to be like you. Now, I know you're happy when you come to church and we sing a happy song. I'm not talking about, I mean all the time. When things go wrong, do you say, praise God, I'm the happiest person in the earth? Why don't you? Hasn't God said rejoice in the Lord always? Most of you people don't enjoy yourself all the time. And I'm not talking about being perfect here. I'm just talking about you don't even understand that's what you're to do. You never have a right to be miserable. You never have a right to feel sorry for yourself. You never have a right to complain. You never have a right to criticize another brother or sister. Never, never, not even once. You never have a right to look miserable. I don't care if the world falls apart. Though the mountains be moved into the sea, you have no right to do anything but rejoice. You know what Jesus said? He said, when you see the evil tidings come, look up and rejoice. In fact, he said, jump up and turn around and rejoice, because you know that your redemption draweth nigh. The darker it gets, the more excited you should become. You are to be lights in this dark world. At your work, in your home, in your neighborhood, you should be so on fire for God that you're obnoxious. Yeah, you should be. Who are you trying to please? Your church members? Your pastor? You can't. You'll never please me. You never will. I don't care how high you go, I'll never be pleased. Because I've got this standard in my head that's so high. And I got enough trouble just myself going toward it. You know, I don't even care about you. But you'll never please me because you can't be perfect, and neither can I. So my eye is not going to be on how much fruit I'm bearing out here on the end. My eye is going to be on Jesus, because that's the secret. Abiding in him is the secret to fruit bearing. I'm embarrassed because this morning when I went to Sunday school, I found that Robert once more had stolen my message. It's unbelievable. And I'm doing my best to say it in a different way. But once more, God had told him ahead of me, because he's first. But that's exciting, because God is telling us the same things, that God wants us to have a separated people. He wants us to have a spiritual leadership, not just glorified deacons. God wants to have true elders, and they have not been around much. True elders. You read the qualifications. Most of you are too quick about picking elders. They're a rare commodity. So are deacons. So are deaconesses. Don't be so hasty. Dig in deep and say, just take every name you've got and go through the list. Do they meet every qualification? Every one. God wants to have a people that have leadership that is attentive to him. Are they in love with Jesus? Are they happy? Are they powerful? Are they steadfast? This and that, and so on. Now, you see how high the goal is? But that's all right, because the secret to the goal is the attachment. It's not in the branch. Even the branch can't even get itself into the vine. You know who puts us in the vine? God. The Father is the one that has all the power. It's all in the stalk here, and I can't even put myself in. He just says, you are already made clean by the word I've spoken to you. Therefore, I got in by the word. I got in by faith. I don't get in by promises, by discipline, by, Boy Scouts honor. I don't get in that way. I get in because God says I'm already in. God says, I put you in. Do you believe it? Well, you know, if you believe, then you'll see the glory of God. You've got to believe. So God says, you're already made clean. Now you stay there. But he even gives you the power to stay there. Because you can't stay there as though it were a work of yours. I've got to stay there. I've got to stay there so I can bear fruit for God. You can't do it. Just fall in love with Jesus. It's so easy to stay there. You know, all you got to do is just let Jesus love you. Let Jesus just enjoy yourself. How many of you would really enjoy yourselves? Isn't it exciting? Don't you just love to come to church? Isn't it thrilling? Can you hardly wait to get up and say, oh boy, I get to go to church. You know? Hear that wonderful minister share the word of God. You know, look, everything you do ought to be thrilling and exciting. I'm sorry if it doesn't appear that way, but you'll just have to walk by faith and say it is that way. And then you'll grow. Now, you see, this is called mastering. In other words, you need to be a learner. You need to be a disciple. You need to learn that you think wrong. You think wrong. You've got to think right. Here's the way to think. Enjoy yourself. Everybody, it doesn't take any intelligence at all to struggle. Anybody can be a warrior, a struggler, a striver, a trier. But I tell you, it's a miracle to enjoy yourself. That is a miracle. To just enjoy that God has already said, I put you in there. You know, there. Just enjoy yourself. Look, no fruit here. Just enjoy that God has already done a great work. That God has put you in there and that you will bear fruit. You will be a getting 300. You will have spiritual leadership. You will see the harvest brought in. I tell you, if the leadership gets in place and if we are a separated people, then the word or the ministry will be expanded. And if the ministry is expanded, the disciples will be increased. That is, we will grow so big that this building will be obsolete within the year. So fast, so big, that we'll have to do something strange and unusual, like ask God what to do next. And he may say, give away half your people. What do you think of that? Sure. Fill up some of these other churches around here. They're having a little trouble. If we abide in God, if we enjoy ourselves, if we don't struggle, if we realize, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, not just belong in a church. You know, don't just make it like that. But if you're really engrafted into God, you can't help but bear fruit. We will do everything that God has said. Do you believe that? That's a nice, pious statement. Do you really believe? You see, this is the most impossible thing to happen. It's absolutely ludicrous for me to say it, that 1983 will be a great year for the church. That's silly. Why should it be any better than it was in 1982? You know, maybe a little bit better. But no, I dare to say and am bold to say that it will be incredibly great. Why? Because it's in the Bible. Because there is no room in the Bible for anything less than all the way. There's no room in the Bible for saying, we may grow a few inches next year. I don't want to grow a few inches. Let's grow all the way. What does that mean? I don't know. All I know is what's ever in here, let's get it all. You ready to go all the way?
Amen.
I mean, you want to go part way or all the way? Now, the first thing you have to do is relax, enjoy yourself, and realize that you can't do it. There's no way you can do it. We are among the lousiest, laziest, stubbornest, sinfulest people. Arrogantest, you know. We think we can do it. We're crummy at everything. We're failures, just complete failures. If you're talking about producing some kind of fruit for God, you can't be a Christian. You can't commit yourself. You can't read the Bible every day. You can't keep up anything, not with all your heart. You can't do it unless it's a gift given to you. You can't even be yourself. You can't even enjoy yourself. You can't do anything. Do you realize that apart from Jesus, you can do nothing? I mean nothing, 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 nothing. You can't even know that you're nothing. I mean, it's that, you know, that's how little you can do. Nothing. Nothing. So here's all you are as a branch. And the only excitement, the only joy is Jesus has already made you clean. If you believe that, you're in. That's all you got to do. And you will bear fruit if you'll just abide. That is, keep your eye stalkward rather than fruitward. Don't ever look to see how much fruit you're bearing. Just, if you fall in love with Jesus, I know we'll bear fruit. If you don't, I don't want to see the fruit. Because that fruit which we bear, if we're not looking at Jesus, will be absolutely empty. I don't care how impressive it is, it'll be worthless. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus and enjoy yourself and laugh and just, as we've said before, put on the shoes of leisure. Let's put on our shoes right now of leisure. Come on, take off your galoshes, your work boots. Come on, do it. Everybody, put your shoes of leisure on. We're going to have a fun year. Now, I don't mean cheap. I mean to enjoy the rest of God, to let God do everything. Then God will get all the glory a year from now. Now, what if we're not around a year from now? Quite possible. That's all right. We don't have to accomplish anything. Isn't that exciting? If today were the last day, let's say a bomb would come down and blow us all away, wouldn't you be excited anyway? How many here would like to have another day? You know, it's enough if we would die right now, isn't it? Because God loves me. What do I have to prove to anybody? What do I have to accomplish? Nothing. Well, let's say we all end it today, right now. Wouldn't that be exciting? A few of you are excited. Wouldn't that be exciting? To go on home? You know, some of you are not so sure you'd go on home. Or some of you are not so sure that your home would be the same home I'm talking about. But no, if God came today, it's just going to be glorious. So if he doesn't come today, it's because he has a reason for not taking you home today. You know what that reason is? To accomplish something. You know what he wants to do before that? He wants to show you something. You know what that is? Himself. And you know what he wants to do even before he shows you himself? He wants you to enjoy yourself, be yourself, even if you're a crummy self. How many know here that you're as crummy as the person next to you? That's right. That's a good start. If you became yourself, you would not become a neat self. You'd become a lousy self. But here's the thing. God has already made you clean, and so even though you look like, feel like, taste like, and act like a lousy self, the truth is, God says you're clean. Now, by faith, I believe that. I believe I'm a perfect self. So I believe my old man's dead. I believe that other person I just talked about that I thought was so real, I say, he's dead. That old man is dead, and I don't see this fruitless self. Here's a self that doesn't look very fruitful. I see an abundant, look at all the fruit on that. That's faith. Why? Because my eyes are on Jesus. And when I look at Jesus, I see fruit. When I look at Jesus, I see holiness. When I look at Jesus, I see happiness. When I look at Jesus, I see glory. When I look at Jesus, I see everything, because he's my all in all, my beloved. So it's easy for me to abide in him, because there's nothing negative in him. There's no darkness in him. There's only light and fruit and joy and goodness and peace. And when I do that, suddenly it shows up in my life. Now, if I take myself seriously, I'll always be trying to put fruit on. Say, I got up this morning at 6. Yes, I read Genesis 3 and 4. Ah, I wonder if other people in the church did as much as I did today, you know. And you're always measuring yourself, feeling good or feeling bad. Maybe you got up and you didn't do it. And you think, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Or, oh, that's a silly thing anyway. I don't even think God wants us to read Genesis. Or, who can understand Genesis anyway? Or whatever. How many read Genesis 1 and 2 yesterday and 3 and 4 today? Praise God. What a bunch of failures. From heaven above, I got the word from God, give these people a program to read through the Bible. And yet, nobody trusted me. Everybody said, you know. Now, I know you really wanted to do it. How many wanted to do it? Well, you didn't even want to do it. Praise God. Oh, Lord. I'm taking your fruit off. So there we are. But with this branch, this is you. With this branch, God, because of the Word, not because of your discipline or your goodness or your anything, because of the Word of God alone, you will produce all that we have said. Do you believe that? You don't have to. I'll believe for you. I believe you are the very people that God is going to use in 1983 to win this city for Jesus Christ, to get to know God in an intimate way, to bear much fruit, to be highly holy, and to be the happiest people I know. That's the goal. That's the vision for 1983. You will be happy, holy, and fruitful. Before you are fruitful, you must become holy. Before you are holy, you must be happy being not holy. Are you happy being like that? Most of you would rather be holy and fruitful. But I tell you something, until you're happy being unholy and unfruitful, you will never become holy and fruitful. Are you happy when you sin? Now, most of you are not. Now, understand me very carefully here. Most people, when they sin, they get upset. Now, that looks very pious and religious. Oh, why did I do that? Why didn't I do that? Well, what good is that? Who is it that's getting mad at who? That's just your sinful self getting mad at your sinful self, which is kind of silly. The Spirit doesn't get mad at your sinful self. You know what the Spirit does to your sinful self? I mean, the Spirit doesn't bother saying, you weren't very good. You know what the Spirit always says? It just kills the flesh. It doesn't say, now you weren't good, would you please dress up? Would you please fix up? Okay, I'm going to say it again, because you're not following me. If you get mad at sin, your sin, you're making a great mistake. If you say, oh, why did I do that again? You're in the flesh. Oh, I wish I would be more spiritual. You're in the flesh. Anytime you wish, anytime you're ought-toing, anytime you're following a law, you're out of God. You're following not the New Testament, but you're in the Old Testament. Anytime you're trying to be better or am unhappy with yourself, not being just what you are, as you are, not fixed up, you are out of God. God didn't graft you in fruitful. He grafted you in dead. And then said, I will give you the power. I will work with you. I chose you as you are. I didn't choose the nice people. You know, when we broke away from the church a couple of years ago, I asked God if we should start with a whole new crew. And he said, no, just start with whatever I give you, but you're going to have a lot of leftovers, a lot of burnt bricks. You have to scrape off all the gooey on it, you know, and all the mortar. And he says, it'll be rough work. And besides, they're all going to be in a big heap. You know, they won't just be neatly laid up. So God doesn't want to glorify himself by giving us brand new material to work with. He wants to find the deadest, most unpromising stuff. Now, if God can't do it with that, then he's not God. Any God can work with promising material.
but only our God could make out of you people. Disobedient, stubborn, stiff-necked. Hello? Have I got the right people? Only God would have enough humor to work with you. Now, he has a great... A lot of people... this is a mistake that's made. A lot of times people would think that I'm disappointed in them because they don't measure up. Because I draw the standard high. I believe it's got to go all the way, right to the very top. It makes me intense. It makes me unappreciative, so to speak, of what little things might be happening and to be constantly pointing out the great goal. So a lot of people feel, I don't think Pastor's very happy with us. Nonsense. That's not true at all. I'm extremely happy with you. The more miserable you are, the more happy I am. I'm telling you, it's not a joke. I'm telling you the truth. I am not happy when you make strides and gains, because you'll just fall into pride and whatnot anyway. I'm happy when you fall apart. I'm happy when you... I want to draw the thing so high that you'll strive and fall down. Hello. God told me to do that. Why? So that you will realize that you are nothing apart from Jesus. But in Jesus, you can do anything. Once we find a church full of sinners, not saints, not nice people, but people who know who they really are in the light of God, that is nothing. Once we have a people like that, there is no end to what we can do. But as long as we have people that can accomplish something for Jesus, we're in trouble. I want people that are real, not people that are pious, not people that are spiritual, not people that are mystical. I want people that are real. And I tell you, when you follow God in the standard that we have raised here, you can't be pious and mystical. Not for long. You will maybe for a little while, but you won't after a while, because God will not have it. God will not share his glory with anyone. He doesn't want you to help him. He doesn't want you to get part of the glory. He wants to have all the glory for himself, and he's only going to work with unpromising material. And that's why I'm excited about you. I have a feeling here God has put together a wonderful set, of dead branches. But the reason is that my confidence is in God and in the Word. And as the Word continues to go forth, you who once were no people will become God's people. You who once had no name will take on a new name. By the way, this was the day, 8 days after Christmas, although that's silly because we don't know what day was Christmas, but 8 days after Jesus was born, that he was circumcised and was given his name. And I tell you, you have the name of Jesus Christ. That is the power that's in God, the nature that's in God, the juice, the joy, the love, the holiness. That's in God. You now have that because you have been grafted into Jesus. You have that name. You don't have your own nature. There's nothing in this branch. It's dead. But once you graft into Jesus, you get a life. There's no life here, but the life is in the branch that's in the Lord. And the Lord has all the life, all the power, all the joy, all the holiness, and he doesn't mind your failures, your inconsistencies. Most of you are still mad because you're inconsistent. Why? Because you're thinking you yourself could be consistent. How silly. Only God could help you. Then you think, well, I should help God to help me. No, you can't even help God to help you. Well, then at least I should feel bad that I can't help God to help me. No, don't do anything. Just relax. This is going to be a great year because you're going to put on the shoes of leisure. Still got your shoes on? It's like those quilted shoes, I think. Now they sell those quilted things with the fuzzy all around them. That's the kind of shoe you got to put on. Let's all wear those to church. Someone's going to do that now, I know. You need to enjoy yourself. I tell you, God took away the burden of pleasing him. You don't have to serve him anymore, because unless the tree is good, you can't have the fruit be good. And there is no way to make that tree good except to get into Jesus, who is the only good tree. There's only one tree of good, of life. Jesus is the tree of life. You can't know good and evil. You can't experience on your own good and evil. You can't. You must be grafted into Jesus. Then you will experience for the first time in your life what good is, what power is, what the glory of God is. Well, God's good. This is going to be a great year. You're going to be a happy people first, then a holy people. But wait till you're happy. Don't you dare become holy before you're happy, because you'll be a legalist if you are. First, enjoy what God has done for you, and don't you do a thing for God until you do.
Are you happy with yourself as you are? Are you happy with yourself as you are? Are you happy with yourself if you don't improve tomorrow? See, you've got to be happy right where you are, because you didn't choose God. God chose you. And God says, I don't make any wrong choices. You are just the one I need. With all your hang-ups, failures, darknesses, confusions, and whatever else. God knows that. He picked you on purpose. He saw exactly when you were ready. He says, yes, that one's a mess. I'll take her. Don't ever fix up your mess. God will never reveal himself to an unreal person. God will only reveal himself to a real person, and the more you are real, the more you will find the glory of God's upon you. You're not gonna, don't fix yourself up. Don't be impatient with yourself. Don't be disturbed. Just enjoy yourself being a mess and saying, well, God, you must really have a sense of humor to pick me. I don't see how you're going to accomplish anything. I thought for a while that I was going to help you out. But now I have my doubts. In fact, it's looking so grim that I don't think the kingdom's going to come. I'll tell you, God's got a plan, and it includes you, and that's the most surprising thing of all. He wants to use you, messed up. He can work with messed up people and bring out something good. He can take evil and bring out good. How can someone take, any God could take good and bring out good? That's simple. But our God can take something that's evil and bring good out of it. Isn't that true? Our God can make all things work together for the good, because that's our God. And I love it that we don't have a promising group. I really do. I get excited. I do not get excited when people start to improve. I get excited when they fall apart. And it's hellish, you know. And people around me, you know, the ones that aren't falling apart come and nudge me and say, do something, Pastor, do something, Pastor. And I don't know what to tell them, you know, because I just say, well, praise the Lord. And they say, no, do something. Do something. Fix them up. Tell them, you know, shape them up, so on. No, I won't. I can't do that. I don't have the power to do it. All I can do is rejoice and enjoy myself. I'm along for the ride. I don't know how you are. I'm just along. I'm just abiding in Jesus. God will do it all. Do you believe God will do it all? That's where it's all at. If you believe God will do it, then he will. I tell you, if he could take my life and do what he's done in my life, he can take your life and do what he's done. I know that I've grown. I know what God has done in my life. I know how yucko I was. I'm not anymore. But, you know, I'll tell you another thing is you never really improve. Now, you do bear fruit, and you do grow in holiness. You do come in the knowledge of God. But here's another thing is every day you start afresh. Every day sin jumps up in my life. You know, I've not found one day that I didn't have a sin. You know? And you might think, well, yesterday was a small sin. Today it's a big sin or something. No. Sin is sin. To forget God is to forget God. To not abide in God is to not abide in God. You know, many people don't understand. You're not going to grow. The only thing you want to do is fall in love. Enjoy yourself. Relax. If you become happy, what? You'll become holy. And if you become holy, only holy people hear God, so only holy people have guidance. So only if you don't have any guidance, how could you bear God's kind of fruit? That's why a lot of those people on the last day will say, Lord, Lord, we did this, we did this, we did this, we did that. All for the glory of God? Not one of it. Why? We did all these good things. They were in the Bible. It doesn't matter. You didn't get guidance, specific. Not only what to do, but when to do it and how to do it. You did not bear fruit for God. God could have used a rock to accomplish that. Don't take yourself so seriously. If God strikes me dead this minute, he can still build a New Testament church. That's nothing. In fact, that's usually what he does. oh, well, praise the Lord. This is going to be a great year because God is going to glorify himself. God is going to take us, nobodies. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, we can accomplish all things. God chose us and appointed us that we should go and bear fruit. You will be the great fruit bearers. I'll tell you why we're going to be great. We're not going to be great because other places couldn't be great. They don't want to be great. Most churches in this town are not reaching very high. All they want to do is go from 300 members to 600 or something, or go from a budget of $500,000 to $1 million. Big deal. What we want to do is glorify Jesus. What we want to do is become happy. What we want to do is become holy in God. The fruit will take care of itself.